It's time now for the Gargano and Martinez Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez. It starts now.
Hello?
Google me.
Out right.
Good morning, everybody. Happy, happy, happy Tuesday to all across the Delaware Valley. The Midday Show with Jason Martinez. I'm Anthony Gargano, and can we start? Because I want to explore the Nick Foles magic and everything else. What is the magic hold of Foles over the fan base?
It's phenomenal.
All right, so Foles has Nick Foles has this sort of magic about him, right? And, you know, whatever it is, there's something to him. I don't know, if it's going to last, if you can get to another Super Bowl. I think the road's kind of tough to make the playoffs. We'll get into it. Carolina lost last night. But I'm so curious as to the character who Nick Foles is. Because, Jason, it's like this fan base is re-energized. They're in love with Nick Foles. And it's not just he won the Super Bowl last year.
Uh-huh. I know he is. I figured it out. I cracked the code on him last night. He's Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's got the Jedi mind trick. And he affects everything around him. He uses the Force.
He's got the Force.
Yes. These are not the droids you're looking for. These aren't the droids. You know, I mean, it's...
He's got the Force.
He does. It's the Jedi mind trick. You underestimate him in a lot of ways because the way he runs isn't as fluid as a supreme athlete. He doesn't look the part as much. I mean, he's a big kid and very athletic, was a good basketball player and everything.
He was, yeah.
But for some reason, I think people underestimate him. And he's had supreme success. And it's a lot of people, when they consume sports, look at one thing. And it's really the only thing that does matter is what you accomplish. Winning, losing, success, failure. That's what sports are about. That's why they plug in a scoreboard, right? To keep score. And this guy's won some huge games.
Yeah, it's deeper.
But it goes beyond that.
It does.
You're right.
It does. And it's because it's funny. Listening all day yesterday and talking to people all day yesterday, this morning, they are very quick with this. What if Nick Foles wins a Super Bowl? Isn't he the starter? Now, they got a long way to get to the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm. Tough road.
A lot of stuff has to happen. Well, at least Minnesota has to lose one of the two games, whatever. But people are making up this scenario, this what-if scenario. And to me, it screams of hoping that this happens, not to win the Super Bowl, but so that Foles is the starter.
So you can move forward with Nick Foles.
Yeah, I sense.
So he's your future.
I sense this. Mm-hmm. You know, I sense this stuff. And, you know, I'm in no position to argue, even though I don't think it's right, how Wentz has been just kind of cast aside, and people go, Foles is the guy, and get rid of Wentz, and you know, and they don't even, I don't even think there's any sorrow or pity or sympathy.
There's
for
a little
him.
Bit, matter of fact, there's a little bit of almost glee in certain members of the fan base.
You notice that?
No, I think it's so weird. And I swear, I think we need to bring in like outside a research firm to figure out why we react to elite talent players so much differently than we do, I don't want to say marginally talented, but less talented or more, I guess, stock talented players in all the sports.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Because we're so much more critical of elite, even if they perform well, but the success doesn't happen, that, and we blame them, yet we won't blame guys that are stock. We accentuate what they did positive, but don't accentuate what they did negative, which is the opposite with an elite talent player.
Well, right, sense. Like, you know, listen, I thought Nick Foles had a dramatic effect on the team, right? Mm-hmm. The team rallied. He gave them, I don't know what it was, but we talked about the magic, the whole thing yesterday. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there was an interception in the red zone that almost cost them the game, or at least a tie, and there was a throw to Zach Ertz that was high and behind him that could have been picked off. And if Wentz had thrown that, they would be killing him.
Yeah.
Killing him.
Yeah, he gets a lot more rope, Nick Foles, than Wentz does when it comes to the critical analysis of a game. There's no question about it. It's not. I don't think it's even debatable. But why is that?
Yeah, it's so true.
You know?
It goes beyond just
the
backup
Covington
quarterback.
And
it goes beyond just the backup quarterback. Like, I remember when A.J. Feely came in for five for Donovan.
He was the third guy.
And that year, right?
Yeah.
And he goes like 4-1, I think it was, where when Donovan gets hurt against Arizona. And Detmer comes in, he gets hurt the first half of San Francisco.
Yeah. Look like he gets shot.
Feely comes in and they win. AJ wins. It's a Monday night in San Fran.
Yeah.
They win, and then they win like three of the next four. And the last game was against the Giants. Didn't really mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, some people were like, well, do you start AJ? It's like, no, you're going to start Donovan.
Because he was healthy.
Right.
Yeah. And look.
Because Donovan's the better player.
Yeah.
And then when the Eagles lost to the Buccaneers in the NFC Championship game, there was a lot of people that said, well, why, you know, if AJ started, they would have won.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come on. That's not happening.
Yeah.
And you were never going to start AJ.
Yeah, he wasn't even the starter on his college team.
No, but whatever.
Yeah,
but you get my point. Like,
yeah.
And look, he played well. No, AJ played well coming
in. But they dumbed down the offense.
But he wasn't Donovan.
Yeah, and what did they do? What did Andy do? He simplified that offense when he had to go to his third string quarterback. And, I mean, to me, that was a lot of coaching for the success there.
Yes.
It was a great job of coaching the success that Feely had. And good on the Eagles. They ended up getting a second round pick when they traded him to Miami for a guy that they just picked up as a project. But you're right. It's weird how we react to these players so differently, and I don't know if we can crack. I don't know. I think we need the audience to crack the code.
Yeah, I'm so interested in what Foles has that really leads people. Like he's a genuine. Like you could see he's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. You know the whole thing. He came up big in the Super Bowl. We know about. He's got some sort of kind of cool charisma, like laid back, I should say.
Yeah,
charisma. You know, maybe it's all that stuff together, but
Cool Hand Luke.
There is something there that people felt like Wentz loses the Dallas game. However, he brought them back both times to tie the game.
Yeah.
And was in the middle of a referee controversy. And yet, if you talk to him, I'm going to read you a note from a buddy of mine who had the line of the day. He said that people act like he's Jeff Kemp.
Yeah.
This fill-in quarterback and act like he was horrible when he played.
No, you're right. I got a tweet here already, and see if you agree with this. Diner Diva tweets in. She says, Nick Foles is very authentic, and his love for God and his closeness to God, so I really think, as crazy as this sound, that God is watching over him. Now, Carson's an extremely religious man. So the God part, let's take that out of the equation because they're both very religious and they walk in the way of the Lord, whatever. But Nick Foles is very authentic. But does that mean that Carson is not authentic? I don't know if she's saying that. A lot of times that's how we take things. We say, this guy is this, so we make the jump that we're saying the other guy is not that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Nick Foles is clutch. Are we saying Carson is not clutch? No,
yeah.
We're just saying Nick is clutch. You know what I mean? So we gotta keep that in mind in having this conversation. But it's an important conversation, and it goes beyond just the Eagles, Ant. This bleeds into the other teams and elite talent and, you know, how we treat guys like T.J. McConnell.
Speaking of the other teams, I'm annoyed at one of them. And I'm actually, I'm trying to hold my temper with another one of them. Because I could explode on this team that plays in the summer.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you were so optimistic just a couple of days ago.
If they don't get Machado or Harper, I'm going to go nuts.
Well, you heard what Andy McPhail said.
Yes, that's what precipitates that.
Yeah, okay. Look, I think that's speak, and I think that's him playing agent.
You know what that is?
Temper?
It could be, but it's also, you know, if we, you know, quell expectations.
Tempering enthusiasm.
You know what's funny? These guys, they love to quell expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what happens is, they go out and say, and they're the least bit bold or honest and go, yeah, man, you know, we expect so and so. We should finish in first place. Now, if something happens, you get a rash of injuries, people understand.
Mm-hmm.
If you play under expectations, they're going to get pissed.
Yeah.
So whether you say it or not, they're going to get pissed.
Yeah. What the thing is why you never look. And Middleton said he wanted to spend stupid cash, which I think we love to hear, but it wasn't the smartest thing to say, because then we get into this mindset of, okay, if that's the case, then you're going to spend stupid cash. You're going to end up with Machado or Harper. And we've heard even both at some points. And then the fan base wraps their head around that. And if you don't get the guy, it's like you lost him, even though you never had him. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we have it in our head that we're going to have Machado or Harper. And if you end up with either, now we've lost something, but we never actually had it.
No. We lost Harper.
See, you're there.
Oh,
you're mentally there right now.
I was there when the season ended. I expected to get Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, it's...
No, I'm going to be pissed.
You're in that mode because you know that this offseason was pointed to for a while now as the offseason.
No excuse. There's no excuse. There's zero excuse. You pay whatever you get.
So you're worried.
Pay. Yeah.
The look on your face right now, I wish we were on TV right now.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm glad we're not, but because I look like hell. But that being said, you look worried. I see the worry in your face when you brought up the Phillies.
Yeah. Well, I read the quote. I don't like the quote.
Spit out your coffee.
I don't like the quote. I don't. Now, I understand. I've been around these executives for a long time, and everything's a negotiation. Mm-hmm. And we're only going to a certain threshold. I'm still concerned.
All right.
I'm still concerned. I'm hoping that John Middleton just says, get out of the way.
Andy.
Shh. Yeah.
I got the briefcase. The cash.
Yeah.
All right. I want to ask the people, too. What are their biggest worries right now?
Yeah.
610-632-0.
Horrific Sixers game last night.
Yeah, it was. They lost 3 out of 4.
Horrendous.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. First caller receives a tub of peanut chews. It is the Midday Show. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez. And we're right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
How's everyone doing?
All right, welcome back. Oof. I'm not going to I'm not going to get too crazy and overdo a back-to-back situation. But it was, that was horrible last night. They didn't even play. They are so thin right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're 2 to 3 players short.
And it shows.
Yeah.
When their starters aren't on the floor, they're in trouble.
They're really, really thin. Mm. Really thin.
You're coming in today with a lot of concern.
Well, but listen, because here's the deal. Phillies, they need to do something big. Like, this quote from McPhail where he talks about, well, there's going to be just as much pressure next year as there is this year. Are you going to waste the whole season? Because I got news for you, Andy. That place will be a ghost town.
Mm-hmm.
A ghost town. They will not come back.
Your Segura is not enough.
No. That will be a good... People came into this all season expecting big things. Big things need to be done. There's no guarantee that you can go get Mike Trout when he becomes free. Who knows?
No, he doesn't even want to come here, probably.
You need to go... You know, listen, Andrew McCutchen is all right. I mm-hmm. like him. I think it was a good, decent signing. They need outfielders. But you need the big guy.
Yeah, and the thing is here's the other problem with it. When you talk about the expectation, people expected it. The Phillies have been linked to these names from national reporters and reporters all over baseball.
Oh, they're in on Patrick Corbin.
They've been in on anybody that's of note, right?
Listen, I like that,
mm-hmm.
but you got to land them.
Yeah. Yeah, being in on a guy doesn't mean anything to me.
See, the Machado thing... I'm unsure. Now, he's coming to visit, but I'm unsure whether or not, like, this is his prime, this is where he wants to be. I
mean, this is just kind of a token.
I don't know. I mean, I literally don't know. It's just a sense I get that, like, it's... If he had his own druthers, he would probably be in New York, right? Mm-hmm. Now, Harper, I just think he just wants to sign the biggest contract out there.
And they got the money to do it.
Right.
And we've heard these reports that he likes playing in Philadelphia.
He wants the big...
What's money?
Listen... He played an hour and 45 minutes down 95.
Mm-hmm.
Played in Philadelphia. If you got the largest contract, he'll sign here.
Yeah. Well, look, the bank.
Give him. You pay him.
The bank cashes the check the same way.
Right. Well, you pay him, he won't come.
Yeah.
You got to go get him.
Yeah. Well, you got some concerns. I like when you come in with a little concern. I wasn't expecting that today. But you got some concern over the basketball team. You got concern over the baseball team. Yeah, obviously a concern for the hockey team and going forward with the Eagles. We got some concerns there, too.
Yeah, I don't know about the Q.
Yeah, I don't know about the Q either.
No, look, here's the thing. We're talking about Joe Quenneville. There's no way that the Q is a coach during the season. It comes here, like, now.
Yeah, I thought that all along. I've kind of been saying
that.
I mean,
if you got paid, you tell me if I'm right or wrong. How much is he getting paid right now?
$6 million.
Yeah, I mean, what, like...
Yeah.
You don't do it now.
I'm out Vail skiing like he's doing right now.
Right. Like, what you do is you keep an eye on him.
Mm-hmm.
You evaluate from afar.
Yeah.
Then you get the job and you evaluate up close.
Yep. Exactly.
And you take a little R&R because you know you're going to be coming in, you know, with two hands.
Yeah. And people are freaking out because they said yesterday that Scott Gordon, the interim coach, would be the coach to the end of the year. Well, you have to say that because you can't tell the players this right. guy's here for a cup of
exactly.
coffee because then they're going, well, what do I want to listen to this guy for?
Exactly.
Okay, and then you variable it if something changes.
So, big win by the Saints.
Yeah, how about that?
So, Carolina...
They're cooked.
Dead.
Cooked.
Dead.
It moved the Eagles' percentage chance to make the playoffs from 37% to 38% last night. It was a small tick, but it's a tick in the right direction. Take care of business. And this game this
Heart
weekend,
of hearts, do they make the playoffs?
I don't think they do, Ant.
Yeah.
I don't think it all works out. Because Minnesota impressed you last week, didn't they?
Listen.
I was hoping they were going to implode.
Yeah. They did.
Maybe they removed the problem.
I mean, you got Detroit and Chicago. I don't think he was the problem. I mean, definitely with Zimmer he was. But,
yeah.
I hear you. I feel the same way, which is.
I'm hoping they do, though. I really want them to.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But it goes without saying. I don't know. I mean, does Minnesota lose at Detroit? Do you think Detroit's a donkey?
Yeah. Well, here's the
Bears might need the game. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, they may be able to get the bye with the win in Week 17, and they're obviously a very good team. The reason I want them to make the playoffs so bad, because I want the Eagles to make the playoffs, obviously to extend the season and more meaningful football, that goes without saying. But I want another shot at the Cowboys so bad. I want to knock their ass out of the playoffs.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Wouldn't it?
That's pretty much my sole motivation here is to get a shot and have Nikki go down there and end their season just so we.
Oh.
Yeah, you beat us twice in the regular season, but we ended yours.
Oh my God.
That'd be great.
It'd be the greatest.
If that happens, Ant, I go, this season, success.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. As always, who's on first on the program will receive a tub of Goldenberg's peanut chews. You know you want these delicious, chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized pieces loaded with crunchy peanuts. So let's see who gets the tub today. And it's Ryan in South Philly, and he joins us on the Fanatic. How you doing, Rye?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
So my whole take is when you look at Carson and Nick, Carson, he's still young. You know what I mean? He came in as a rookie and started right at the bat. He was hunting when he got the phone call. He was like, hey, you're going to be the starter over Sam Bradford. So he came in right off the bat, not really truly learning the NFL right away. Last year, he came in slinging, and it was amazing. Now, I think the reason why that the team is taking a Nick more is because when Carson went down, Nick came in confident. They changed up a little bit. They brought in RPOs, and it was a different look, and the team was successful. Carson was hurt over the summer, didn't really play. Nick played. They kept the RPOs going. As Anthony was saying before, the RPOs don't really work all that great with Carson. Carson needs to go out there swinging, doing his thing. He came back from his injury, wasn't able to do everything. He got hit so many times, sacked so many times. To me, he was uncomfortable and not confident in his offensive line. You can see that there. He's got a little bit of jitters running around and not really knowing too much and forcing balls. And then what does he do? He throws to Ertz. So now with Nick coming back in, there's that style offense that they were still running, the RPO, that Nick is great at. And he's showing that confidence to the team that, hey, I can do this. And then we can't forget, too, that Schwartz came out of nowhere and actually coached a great game.
Yeah, oh my God.
Where did the defense come from out of nowhere?
Well, that's like, that, right.
What happened?
Yeah,
that, he blitzed.
Yeah, well.
That last play of the game, I couldn't believe it. When I saw that come in and he actually pressured him, I was like, oh my God, we just won. The football was even thrown.
Yeah, it was.
That D-line balled, though, too. I mean, they were balling.
Oh, they did.
Wow. I mean, Fletcher Cox had the game. You know, that's what he does. I mean, he's a great player, but I mean, he was able to sustain it throughout the whole game.
He took that
Michael Bennett,
the Cox down storyline, and said, "Okay, he maybe used that as motivation. He can do it again this week too. By the way, with the guy JJ Watt.
Yeah.
But he's like, look, man, this guy gets all the pub, but I'm every bit as good as this guy, and I'll impact the game." And he was throwing guys.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He's a tremendous player. He really is. He's worth every penny that he's getting. And he's going to have to do it again this week. It's a different task this week when you're dealing with Deshaun Watson. It's a lot different. How's Schwartz going to handle that? Does a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, does the wide nine technique that Schwartz uses, is it a little better for a quarterback like Deshaun Watson to keep him kind of contained? Because of that wide nine technique?
Yeah, but the problem with Deshaun is,
theoretically, it's supposed to, right?
Well, but here's the problem is that it does leave the middle. Like, you gotta be careful of your gaps because, I mean, he can take off at any point.
And that's where you need a linebacker that's going to be able to. Right. The problem is he can shake any linebacker.
He can, but he's more of a throw. I mean, runs, don't get me wrong, but. He's a thrower.
Yeah.
What I like about
Russell Wilson in a lot of ways.
He's better thrower than Russell Wilson.
Yeah, but primarily he's a passer, but he can run.
Russell Wilson's like a, he's almost like he plays quarterback like a point guard.
I can see that. Like Isaiah Thomas.
I mean, he sets plays. He's the ultimate video game guy. Mm. If he's got to throw it sideways, he'll throw it sideways.
Yeah.
So Sean Watson has got a great arm, man.
Yeah. Nick in Collegeville joins us on the Fanatic. How you doing, Nick?
Gentlemen, Giuseppe, Joey, Jason, how are you, buddy?
Great.
What's going on, brother?
I mean, Antonio and Giuseppe. I named three people there. when's the party? When's the Christmas party? Tomorrow?
Thursday, yes, at Ralph's.
Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, okay.
Feast of the Seven Fishes.
Seven Fishes. I got my fishing rod. I'll help out.
fishing rod.
That bait the hook.
We're not getting it from the Schuylkill, right?
That's right.
I'm down the shore.
You're getting
right
the Ali's from the Schuylkill.
Right. Ali's from the Schuylkill. Look, everybody remembers 27-2, Nicky 6, right? Everybody remembers that guy. The next year, 95% of the Fulcian society was like, get this dude and get Chip Kelly out of here. We're tired of this crew. Okay. And it was that 1 or 2 or 3 or 5% that were like, no, it's Nicky is the guy, but Kelly's got to go. Chip's got to go. Chip got figured out, and Chip, he was playing checkers, we thought. We thought he was playing chess, but he was playing checkers, and when everybody called up to his checkers game, he never moved on to chess. So here's my thing about Nicky Sticks. I think what he does, I think people like him because he keeps Doug in check. He's like what a U.S. government used to be. Checks and balances. When he has Wentz out there, you know, because he's this, you know, this wounded kid, you know, he gets crazy with the play call. You know, he gets crazy with the play call and look, last year was fabulous. That's what we believe Wentz should be consistently every year. He was earth this year. I truly believe that Wentz was just never right this year, never had confidence. His offensive line struggled. He took some hits, and that's why we're in a situation where people still love Nicky Sticks right now, because the offense looked different, and it's because Dougie got put in check, and Dougie called the check and balance game, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, he threw it deep, Nicky, so he did throw. He went down the field. I think that a lot of people, I like that. I don't know. I'm sure it's part of it, what Nick says.
Yeah.
But I think there's other factors. It's interesting it goes back. I do think there's a lot of people that believe that he never got a real fair shake as the starter.
After 27-2? Maybe. And that was the Chip era, so, I mean, everything kind of went into a blender when Chip was here. Like you said, I mean, we all thought Chip was playing chess. The problem was he was playing chess, but he used the Queen's Gambit open every time. You know what I mean?
Right,
which
right.
is the most famous open in playing chess, by the way. But and he never would deviate from that plan.
Good chess knowledge by you.
Yeah, well, I love chess. But yeah, so everybody knew what Chip was going to do. They knew his one thing, the one bullet he had was pace and, you know, tempo. And it eventually, it killed his defense.
Yeah, and look, and the next year it did not work, and it kind of got ugly, and Foles gets hurt, and then next thing you know, he's in St. Louis.
Yeah, and that didn't work, obviously. And yeah, I think you're right about that. I think people maybe feel like he never got the fair shake to ride it through the tough times to regain it.
Yeah,
until last year.
Yeah, I do. I think that's kind of like, you know, part. I do think there's this every man thing that he has that connects with people.
They identify with it.
See, but I thought what kind of surprises me throughout this whole kind of controversy is, like, I thought they liked Wentz. I thought, like, they really...
I thought they loved him.
They connected with him.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, they've been, like, all year, the patience, no patience with him at all.
The honeymoon period is clearly way over now.
I mean, no patience.
Yeah.
Well, the other week, remember, he threw an interception, and we had like 15 riled up calls in a row saying, there's another one. Carson throws another pick. Can't rely on this guy. I mean, it was like straight up vitriol.
And how many picks has he had for the season?
Seven.
Right.
The 21 touchdowns.
He throws
and three
another
were
one.
In one game when they were down by, what, 41 points?
And he throws another one.
To take that to another, when he would fumble the ball. If he held on to it too long and get a fumble, people going crazy about it. No, I get it. When you don't want to turn the ball, you got to protect the football. And the one thing that Nick Foles does, he doesn't throw into double coverage a lot. Although the pass to Aqib Talib looked like he targeted him. But that being said, Carson's more of a guy that will go for it. You've talked about that 1,000 times. He's a guy that's going to throw some picks because he's an aggressive quarterback.
Yeah, the thing that's weird is that he wasn't that.
He was efficient.
The last 4 to 6 weeks. He wasn't like that.
No.
He didn't go down the field. What everybody says is correct. Like, you know, overdoing Wentz. I mean, overdoing Ertz. Just constantly locked in on a receiver, on a target, and constantly going to Ertz. Just didn't spread the offense out.
Yeah, and therefore spread the defense out and became very predictable.
Well, yeah, it puts you in a box. You're operating in a box. Now, I don't know if that's... You know, because toward the last 4 to 6 weeks, he couldn't go down the field because of the back. No. I don't know.
Just didn't have the same zip.
That maybe he felt like he wasn't going to throw it because he didn't have it.
Couldn't make those throws on the sideline.
How many times does a pitcher who's feeling some pain doesn't throw a fast, but he knows he's not getting it up to the 93?
Yeah.
It's only going to hit flat. It's only going to hit 88, 87. And if you throw an 87-mile-an-hour flat fastball, it's gone.
Yeah, it's in the bleachers.
So, I don't know. Maybe it's that.
Remember earlier in the season, perhaps pre-injury for Wentz, he threw that one touchdown pass across his body.
Yeah.
The arm strength was there at that time.
Yeah.
It didn't look like it was there lately.
I'm curious if that was the issue.
Yeah. Chris in Northeast Philly joins us on the Fanatic. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, morning, fellas. How you doing?
What's up, brother?
And I'm with you, man. Since the season ended with the Phillies, I've been, worried about how Klentak's going to approach this whole thing. I mean, you saw how he put the team together last year and bringing in Santana on top of Reese and then bouncing Reese out to left field. You know, a couple of things with Klentak. Like, if he – I mean, they seem to be correcting it now and getting guys in a position, but – there was a tweet by Steve Phillips this morning saying that basically implying that the Phillies didn't even go down and check in on Bryce and meet with Boris when they were out in Vegas. So forget about
God.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder how accurate that report is. That too.
Right, no, Steve Phillips was the GM.
Yeah.
No, dealt with Scott Barnes. He knows what he's talking about.
Oh, right. Man. So say if it's true, that is gross negligence. To not even check in on the guy, and it's an absolutely fireable offense.
Yeah, I'm with you. Unless they already put an offer in, or they already told Boris that, hey, look, we're in. Just let us know. You know.
Well, Middleton's got the relationship with him.
When it's happening, you know? I mean, because you know that Scott Boras going to make this thing linger, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So maybe that conversation already happened and was like, listen, you know, we're in till the end. So
right.
Call. So
when
possible.
We get to the end.
I mean, it's possible that's what's going on.
But
I hope.
I'm curious how he's being received. I mean, because they are so outside the box of, like, for lack of a better way to describe it, like a comfort zone for a veteran to come here with Gabe running the way he's running things,
yeah.
And then Klentak,
great point.
Just smashing numbers together, and you know, forgetting the intangible part of baseball, whatever, being a good clubhouse guy or just understanding the intricacies of it. And
yeah, there's a lot more, Chris, than just the numbers and the analytical part of it. There's other things that have to go. But maybe Middleton, you're right. Maybe Middleton just said, hey, Scott, you know where we stand. We love the guy.
Klentak told me. Yeah. I mean, you know, Big John was going to have the final say, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we talked to Big, he said something with Boris and all. But ultimately, Klentak's going to be the emissary.
Absolutely. 610-632-0975.
Oh, my God. I'm hoping. Mm-hmm. I'm really hoping.
You're angst ridden today.
I want a baseball season.
Mm-hmm. You deserve one.
I want a baseball season again. I miss it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Walking around naked.
The magic. It can certainly lead to the Lions upset. You brought up the force, the Foles force. Can it help the Lions and or the Bears?
The force is strong with this one. You're not a Star Wars guy, are you?
No.
You've watched it though, right? Like the originals? Return of the Jedi, Empire.
Not really.
No?
Yeah, I mean, it's what it is. I'm just not. It's not.
Doesn't appeal to you.
Nah.
Yeah. It's something.
I mean, it's one of the most iconic, you know, series ever.
Yeah, franchises and film history.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know. Love it. But yeah, can he use the Force to affect games that are not here? Oh, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. I don't know how honed in his use of the Force is right now. If he can pull like a lightsaber out of the water or out of the snow from 15 feet away by using the Force. Not sure.
So are the chances the Eagles make the playoffs went up one tick, 1%.
To 38.
Right, to 38. Now, it's either the wild card. I don't see how the Cowboys lose to either Tampa or the Giants.
They could lose to one of those teams. They could lose to Tampa. Don't you think? Is there a chance?
I don't think they lose to Tampa, though.
Probably. Where's the game at? Is it
Dallas?
No, it's in Dallas. Well, then they got the refs, too. Because Jarrah's got them in the book.
Well, they have to lose both.
Yeah. Yeah, if Dallas 7-point favorite in that game, by the way.
They have to lose both.
Yeah.
You know what's going to be bad? If we sit here at the end of the season and they miss the playoffs by the one game, we're going to freak out because that was the game that was taken away from them. That was stolen. Mm-hmm. By the NFL, by Jerry Jones.
We're going to lament a couple of games. We're going to lament the collapse of 17 points to the Carolina Panthers. We're going to lament the 4th-and-15 Corey Graham play in Tennessee.
Yeah.
We're going to go, man, just a collection of some.
The games were excruciating. Tennessee, Carolina, the Cowboys, really both Cowboys. You come out flat.
Mm. You're absolutely right. By the way, how about this? Vegas now has the Eagles as a 1-point favorite. It's moved a point. in the Eagles' direction from a pick'em.
Yeah.
Home fave now. Short, but it's a favorite.
You know, I mean, here's the thing. I said this the other day. I was talking to Mike when we were doing our fourth quarter live for Fan Cred. When they win that game, when they're winning, and Mike goes, what about next week? I go, they beat the Rams. I'm expecting them to beat the Texans.
Mm-hmm. At home.
You're home. B, you're hot. You feel good. You have the Foles. He's hot. He's the magic man. Mm-hmm. You're gonna wear ski masks.
For the first time this year, you have confidence. Like, not manufactured confidence, but you have confidence, right? Like, I think the confidence they had before, they had to manufacture it after like four games.
But if they lose, won't you be surprised? Are we not conditioned to that?
I don't know if I'd be surprised. I don't know if I'd be surprised. I'm going to be disappointed, certainly. But I wouldn't be surprised because this team has been so wildly inconsistent all year, and this home field this year wasn't what it was prior to this season. They have not been great at home. They really haven't. You know,
St. Nick's here.
Yeah, I know. And it's different. You're right. It's a whole different thing. But I don't know that I would be surprised. And I don't know where I really fall in on this game yet. I'm having a hard time putting my finger on it.
Well, tough spot for Houston. I mean, they were played at New York Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
They have an extra day, but it's East Coast, back home, East Coast again.
Yeah, and Houston's not exactly around the corner. It's not across the country, but it's not around the corner either.
No, it's a 3.5-hour flight, but it's just, it gets you out of your routine.
Let's check our poll. It's brought to you by Roofing Nation. Get a brand new roof for as low as $7,900 plus free gutters. Call Roofing Nation today at 833-4NATION or visit roofingnation.com. Here's the question. Now, Andrew put this up yesterday. Andrew, you posted the poll. It says, all right, let's ask the question. Would the Eagles be in a better position right now to make the playoffs had Nick Foles played more than three games in the first 14 weeks?
What?
So if he played, say he came in 3 weeks ago, and he's played five or six games this season, would they be in a better position than they are right now? Obviously, with a better record. 65% of the people that have responded, over about 3,000 votes here, said no.
All right.
I'm surprised by that.
Stunned.
I'm proud of that.
I am too, but I'm surprised by it because the poll was put up the day after Nicky came in and saved the day and beat the Rams.
Yeah, but you can't come back and now go, Foles is the quarterback for the season.
Yeah. Well, I think some people, 35% of the people say I think so.
First of all, doesn't Nick Foles remind you of the guy who's best suited to come in late? If he plays a whole season, doesn't he then get, I'm not going to say exposed because it's a strong word, but it's more counterproductive if he plays the whole season.
Yeah, he's the reliever.
Comes in, got the magic, unafraid, undeterred, and wins you a game or two.
Yeah.
Or last year's three.
That's his role.
Well, part of the question, part of my thinking into that question was, well, how long has Wentz been banged up? They talked about how this injury evolved over time. What if it was 2 weeks? What if it was that Cowboys game?
I thought you were saying he should have started.
No. That's insane. But what if he started week 8? Because that's when the Wentz injury started. We don't know how far back this goes.
So that's when you started to see the ill effects in Carson's ability to go down the field. It's an interesting question. And we're going to be able to, we're trying to crack the code on this, Anthony. And coming up at 11:20, we're going to have a guy, I think, that can help us crack the code.
I can't wait to talk to him.
Brent Celek will join us at 11:20. Of course, spent so many years as a Philadelphia Eagle with Nick Foles in every game that he's played as an Eagle until this season. Brent Celek was along for that ride. So the effect of Nick coming in, because Brent lived it last year as a member of the team. So we'll talk to Brent coming up at 11:20. He's just one of the great guys to ever come through this town as a Philadelphia Eagle. Just a good dude, right? He gave everything he had, played hard.
Ah, big time.
Wasn't the most skilled player, but ended up being a great Eagle.
What I'm looking forward to is the insight that he can give you with Foles.
Because he can give you what nobody on the phone can give us. You and I, because we didn't play alongside Foles. Like, I want to, what's the emotional feeling that comes about when Nick Foles comes in? Why is he so calming? You know, all of those things, we'll get the answers from Brent Celek. We bring in the ace.
Did you see what he did a couple weeks ago at one of the Eagles home games?
Who, Brent?
Yeah, he sat up in the 200 level.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he sat with fans watching the game.
See, that's such pretty a cool, cool move. That's such a cool move to do that. I love it. So we'll talk to Brent Celek at 1120. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.